Oh, morning, Grace.
Morning.
How we doing?
Good.
Time out.
Green Toyota van with its lights on.
Okay, don't worry about it. We have people that can start it up. Don't worry about it. Yeah, we're good. No big deal. All right. I was talking to someone this week, and I was telling them how that the book of Galatians in the New Testament, written by Paul, how it absolutely changed my life. And he said, well, maybe I'll do a study in that. So I gave him some direction on what to do. But then I thought, you know, there's been times in my life that different books has just so changed my thinking and my direction in life. And I've thought over the many, you know, the 40 years here, we've gone over so much of the Bible, from Genesis clear to, we haven't gone over Revelation. And yes, we did many, many years ago. And people have weird ideas about Revelation. You know, that's a book that says anyone that reads it is blessed. It doesn't say anyone that reads it is confused. And if you're confused, you have the wrong idea about it. Anyway, think about that one. Now, what we've been doing is we took, at the end of the year, talked about prayer many, many times. I don't know how many sermons we went on that, but we talked about prayer. The beginning of this year, we talk about soul winning. I'm going to talk about the Word, because those are the three things that we're emphasizing on Tuesday nights as we pray together, as we fight the good fight of faith. And if you haven't participated, you ought to come. It's really a good time and some good teaching. And you get to, we're having, in the next 5 weeks, we're having live speakers. And it's so much fun. People have never really spoken before in front of a group. It's so much fun to make faces at them and stuff as they're speaking. Just a blast. Anyway, the Word of God. So this is what I thought. There was a lot of scripture that came to me, and that I began to formulate in my thinking a sermon. But I'm stopping at Psalms 19, which I've preached from this several times. And hopefully I give a little bit of fresh stuff. And we're going to take the next many weeks talking about the Word of God, but we're going to do it a little differently. Instead of like I did prayer and took several sections of Scripture and talking about prayer and soul winning, we're going to look and just look at the Bible in Colossians, and we're going to study Colossians together. So put your study hats on, and we're going to start that next week, and we're going to go through the book of Colossians. I haven't done that on a Sunday morning, and we're going to do that, the book of Colossians. I don't know how long it'll take us, maybe 8 to 12 weeks. This morning, Psalm 19. Psalm 19 talks about the Word. In fact, this is a short version. This is a concise version of Psalm 119, which is, I don't know how many verses there are, but like over 200 verses, and expands what we're going to look at here. So, and it's a great study, Psalm 119, but we're going to get a concise view of what Psalm 119 is and the Word of God. I hope that you're studying the Word. Can I just be a little fussy? Will that be all right? I don't even know if that's the right term I want, but let me just be a little fussy. A little fussy. The church in America isn't studying the Word of God. And it is amazing ideas that people have. And they take they take the term, well, I believe. Well, I'm really not interested in what you believe. I want to know what the Bible says. And there usually is a difference, right? Well, I believe, and they come off with things, and you hear people, Christians, and I don't know where they come up with their ideas, but it's messed up. It's just messed up. And it's not what the Bible says. And there is a whole move around the world, but in the United States, there's a whole move to say, well, really, a lot of the things in the Bible are out of date. And there are some things that are out of date, like we don't do sacrifices on an altar, you know. Those things are out of date, yeah. But it had to do with Jesus giving his life on an altar for our sins, and his blood was shed so that our sins could be washed away and we could have eternal life. But the things that the Bible says about life, you can trust that they have to do with today as well. My wife wanted for her birthday a new door. Now, it was way too expensive for a birthday present. So I told her it'll be the next 5 birthdays and anniversaries. I owe you nothing now. So we got her this door, and the guy did a marvelous job putting the door on. But we have this special door handle to where you have buttons you push to unlock it, and then you turn the knob, you can go in. Well, when he was gone, somehow, some way, it was opposite. In other words, you just push it and you unlock the door. You don't have to put in a combination. If you're going to lock it, then when you're leaving, you have to push in a combination and lock it. So it was messed up. So any of y'all had access to my house, which was not good. And I let it go for the longest time. And so we got this brilliant guy. His name is Butch Crapser, who is brilliant. You know, he's been around a long time. And Butch came out, and Daryl was there, and of course, Hetty-minded Tim French. So these three guys who know mechanical things, well, not Tim, but they know mechanical things. They are sharp when it comes to putting things together. And I said, man, couldn't you fix this thing? So they take it off, all three of them, they're looking at it, and they're putting it back together, and we think we have it, and it works the same as it did before. Didn't work right. And they worked on it, and worked on it, and worked on it, until finally I said, oh, forget it. I'll just buy a new one. Okay, buy a new one. Well, I didn't want to because they're pretty expensive. And I got this at a special deal. So I got another one, and Daryl comes over all by himself. And he says, do you have the manual? Yeah. And so he looks at the manual, and all that it was, on the inside, you take it off, and you push a little switch kind of thing, turn it. That's all you do. And he put it back on, it worked perfectly. That's all you had to do. These bright men could not figure it out without the manual. But let me tell you something. The world tries to figure out life, and they can't do it without the manual. I'm just telling you. You come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things that you know is right because you saw someone who fit the pattern and fit this, and so you know that's how life is. But without the manual, you don't get it. I'm just telling you, you don't get it. Well, what's the manual? This. This is the manual for life. And when you begin to understand this and begin to get this, light comes on. And in Psalms 19, I just love it. It talks about making the simple wise. That's you and I, the simple. And it'll make us wise. It'll take people who lack understanding and don't understand life and how it works and what goes on. But if you study this and you let it wash you and cleanse you, you get wisdom. You begin to understand how things fit together and how things work. And you begin to make different decisions in life because you know what switch to turn. And when you turn it properly, things work right. And that's how life is. Now, so in your notes there, let's read this. And before we do, I want to read the whole psalm, or at least the first part, and then we'll get to your notes. Psalm 19. Because the psalm is broken up basically into two parts. And it has to do with glory and the revealing of God. The first part has to do with the heavens declare God, or the heavens show the glory of God, His creation. We know by design that there's a God. We know that there has to, things just fit together in an amazing way. Just like that lock and the design of that lock, if you had the manual, you would have had no problem. It would have been a 5-second fix instead of 2-hour messing around. It makes life much more simple. Just the way that it is. You might not understand it, but this is the way that it is. So the first part has to do His glory, His creation. And the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Now He's talking about day to day, the heavens tell us about God. There is no speech, there's no real, no one's telling us things, but you see God's handiwork, nor their words, their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through the earth and their utterance to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is the bridegroom coming out of the chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. It is rising, speaking of the sun, from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And so He says, the word speaks, although no one is speaking. The voice is heard, although there's no voices. You see God. You see God in the creation. And He says something very interesting, and I always skipped over this part because I didn't understand it. And its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden in its heat. And its circuit to the other end. The circuit. The circuit, it's moving. The sun is moving. Did you know the sun is moving? The Bible said. And you say, well, no. The planets are going around the sun. That's absolutely right. Now, there's probably only a couple of you. I mean, you know, like Pat Kelly could probably tell you what he's talking about, someone else here, but most of us are simple-minded, and we just skip over that. Just this week, got on NASA, looked up the sun, and you know the sun is moving? Do you know the sun is moving? Now, this is how fast it's moving. This is science that tells us this. You know how fast the sun is moving? 1,000,000 miles an hour. Yeah. That seems fast to me. I don't know. 1,000,000 miles an hour. And it goes and is moving around kind of like in a circle around the galaxy or through the galaxy, however it works. In fact, the whole galaxy is moving 1,000,000 miles an hour. And you know how long it takes it to do a full circle? no time at all in God's timing, but to when I, you and I, 230 million years. That's a little longer than Will is, a little older. Takes a little longer than that to move. Now, I know those are staggering and, you know, it's hard to put, but let me tell you, the Word of God says it's moving, and come to find out, it's moving. It's not a mistake, it's moving. Now, that's an incredible, incredible thing. The God's creation shows His glory, shows there is a God, shows that there is design, just like that little lock of mine had a design to it. And you know someone did that. It didn't appear out of the mud, but someone created that little lock, just like when you look at the universe, someone created this stuff. But the amazing thing about because I talk to people and they'll say, yeah, you know, I believe in that there's a God. It's obvious from creation. I mean, when you see the universe, that there's got to be, there's such design. And they'll say, you know, but He becomes someone who's out there somewhere. The amazing thing about God who created it all, and the universe is expanding, the amazing thing about it is He comes close to us. He even numbers the hairs on your head. He knows every detail of your life, and He loves you, and He gave His Son for you. Now, that might be hard to believe and hard to get, but that's the fact. And how I know it's the fact? Because the Bible says it. And when you begin to read the Bible, you begin to understand, not only does the earth show that there's a God, or the universe show there's a God, but then he talks about the written word, the glory of God, and who He is. And let's look at this briefly. And the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Now, let me stop there. Because as we read the next few verses down to 10, it is going to say the Lord. Each one of them, each one of these principles, is each one about the Word of God, it says the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord, in every verse, of the Lord, a couple times, of the Lord. And the idea is this didn't come from man's ideas, man trying to fit things together. It would be pretty impossible for man to write this on his own. Because there is, it's so complex and so much, and there were like 40-some authors, 66 books, 40-some authors. And when you read it, it's amazing. As you study the whole Bible, it's amazing how you begin to see things fit together from every book, pointing to Jesus Christ, and then the New Testament is all about Jesus Christ. Everything in the book about God's people and about God's rules and God's laws pointing to Jesus Christ. And then all about Jesus. No contradictions, but flows together in an incredible, amazing way. And we would be foolish not to read the manual on how life works. Now you might say, but I don't understand it. Well, I know that. I understand that. The first book I ever studied in my life when I was first year in college, which was Galatians, I didn't understand it at all, and I didn't even like it. It was too boring. And I changed my tune 20-some years later. But it was boring, and I had a good friend of mine, Dennis Mulkey, who was he's a doctor in psychology now. He's written a couple books. He's just brilliant. He's memorized a lot of the New Testament and St. John. You've heard me tell the story. And St. John, he memorized it in the Greek. This is the kind of guy he is. He's weird, you know. He just got a brain on him that you just can't believe. And so I said, Dennis, man, I do not get this. Oh, David, it's so incredible. It's so incredible. Listen. And we would sit, No wonder I got bad grades in my first year of college. We would sit hour after hour, and he was teaching me Galatians and showing me, and the light would come on. Oh, yeah. But I wanted to get to the meat of the word, which I thought was something different. Found out later that that's the meat of the word. And the light began to come on, though. It began to a little more understanding about life, a little more understanding about what's going on. Well, here we're going to see what the Word of God overall, what he says about God's law, God's way. And it is God that put this together. He used men, but it's the Holy Spirit that began to strum hearts and begin, as men begin to use their abilities, God directed them on what to say and how to put it. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Oh, man, the Word of God, when you begin to get it, is more important to you than gold, than things, than life. When it begins to wash you and cleanse you, it becomes so incredibly sweet. And again, you might say, well, yeah, I don't get it. Well, you will. And if you're one of those that you don't get the Word of God when you read it, well, let's start in Colossians and start taking notes on when I preach. It'll help you stay awake. You didn't laugh at that. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The law. God's word and what he says has to do about life. And he says, restoring the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect means complete. It meets every side. It's all sided. It fits in on every side. And the idea is that in our life, in life itself, that the Word of God takes care of everything that you need to know about life. It's all sided. It's complete in itself. And as you study it, there is a wisdom that you begin to get, an understanding about life. Now it says, restoring the soul. Now this is so sweet to me. And when I've done on this before, I'm not going to do it today, I've spent 20 minutes just on this, maybe 30 minutes, just on restoring the soul. When God created you, he created you with something in mind, but sin has messed that up. Because you have a sin nature and you have sinned, right? We've sinned. And yesterday, three of you, I saw what you did. No, I'm kidding, I didn't. But you would might think, oh, did he see that? Did he hear that? I mean, we sin. We have weakness and failings in our life. And the Word of God says that it restores us. It brings back what is lost. First of all, the spirit. Now, the spirit is part of the soul. You have your spirit and you have your soul. It's all together. The Bible calls it, when God created the great man, he says, a living soul, which is your personality with an ever-living spirit that lives forever. And when heaven comes, you're going to be known as you're known. And what that means is you're going to have a personality. You're going to be known by that, by who you are. All of a sudden, you're not going to change. You are going to change in many ways, but who you are, you'll be known by your personality. Now, what God is trying to do, though, in our life, he's trying to wash us and cleanse us. Our personality is made up of that part of our thinking, our emotions and decisions that we make. Because decisions that we make affect us. Do you know that? Decisions that you make affect you, not only emotionally and mentally, but physically as well. How you eat affects you, obviously. It affects you. But it also, decisions you make affects your emotions and your mind and your thinking and your spirit. And the Bible says that it begins to restore us, or it begins to wash us. It begins to do something in the cleansing process, because all of us have these little quirks and ideas. All of us have little things in our life that is bothersome. And it amazes me when someone first meets someone, they just think they're wonderful. You know? And I remember when Phil first came to our church, and he just thought we were the best people in the world. And he still says that. He says, oh, you guys are incredible. But since then, I said, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to go through some hard times, and what's going to happen, you're going to get to know us. Now, he's really good buddies with Will. And I said, you're going to get to know Will a little better. And he's not as perfect as you think. And there will be little things that will bother you, just like there will be little things that, because we all have this soul in us that has little quirks and little things in us that are not all that good. But the Word of God wants to wash that and to cleanse that. Will is different today than he was 40 years ago when I met him. He has different views of things. What was that? Thank God. Hey, be careful. Heather's here and she will hit you. What was I saying? So the Word of God will begin to cleanse you of some of those things and wash you. And I'm telling you, Will's changed so much. We've talked and we've laughed and we've bowed our heads in embarrassment of some of the things that we used to believe and some of the things that we did. I could tell you some stories. Shall I tell you just a funny story? Would that be all right? This is going down a path that, but you got to know, Will and I, we've laughed about this. So we used to, any children's services people in here? Anyway, we used to spank kids in our school. Yeah, about... But it was much harder than that. And so we used to spank kids. There was this one cowboy that came to our church. And nice guy. Well, he messed up majorly. And it was something that either, you know, you suspend him or you kick him out of school or you might give a spanking. So we go up here to spank him. And he admits that he did it, and I said, okay, let's get this over with and to help you so you don't do this again. He said, no, I'm not going to be spanked. And to Will and I, it's like, the challenge is on. We're going to beat you, kid. I'm kidding. And so... he starts to run, and he gets to the stairs, and Will grabs, I think, like his pants, and sits down to hold him from going down the stairs. But it didn't stop the kid going down the stairs. And Will is going down the stairs, thump, thump, on his butt, thump, thump, thump. Now, I'm rolling on the ground at this point, you know, and I said, Will, let him go. Anyway... why did I tell that story? Oh, I just went down a path. It was a funny story. The Word of God cleanses us. Now we wouldn't do that today, and for various reasons. You begin to change your thinking, your emotions change, and your faith increases. Some of the quirks that you have in your life, one of the quirks that I've had in my life, I don't know exactly some the way I've raised what has happened in my life when I was younger, and you know, and as a teenager, I was always a meathead, and you know, so I've really had a lousy self, whatever that is, self-image, and my whole life, and even into adult life, so insecure. Just, you know, afraid to say anything, and now it doesn't seem like it when I preach, but I'm just kind of that way. And if anyone left the church, I was totally devastated, took it so personally. They'd tell me, "Why, don't take this personally." And it would just hurt me so terribly. And then at times, we went through some financial thing. I was so insecure where I couldn't even sleep at night, and it would just eat me alive. Well, a lot of that, on the most part, had been washed and cleansed because of the Word of God. And more faith in God instead of faith in people and faith in a church and a faith in finances, but more of a faith in God and a trust in Him. And that's what happens. That's what the Word of God does. It cleanses us. Now, see, I said I wasn't going to take 20 minutes, and it's been 10. So let's move on. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's all-sided. It shows life just like it's supposed to be, and it will restore, or it will cleanse your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I love this. The testimony. The Word of God is reliable. You can trust it. It doesn't have things in there that aren't practical and good. And it does an amazing, incredible thing for you who are dumb as a rock, and for me who is dumb as a rock. I mean, I have a master's degree, I'm well studied, I read all the time, I even know that the sun is moving at a million miles an hour, you know. I'm smart. Well, no. It takes the Word of God, it makes us wise. Wise about life. I mean, if you want to know how life works, this is where you find it. And it will make the simple person, the person who lacks wisdom, and give them wisdom. We used to meet as a staff here 8 o'clock every morning when we have school and daycare. And we would read the psalm, the proverb of the day, year after year after. And you know, reading that, we begin to get some ideas on how life works, and some wisdom. And we could see some decisions that we made that failed because we didn't use the wisdom of God. Now, the Bible is full of this stuff, and as you read it, it begins to wash and cleanse you and to give you wisdom on how life works. Once you try to go against it, once you try to take whatever cultural thing that is happening and grab hold of that cultural thing and say that, well, the Word of God is not, it doesn't fit today's life, you just lost wisdom. There are things in our culture, for instance, that you have to battle. There's some things that our kids are learning that you have to battle on what the Word of God says. The whole gay movement, you know, taking a bad thing and trying to make it look like it's a good and packaging it with a good thing. Well, the Word of God makes it very clear about those things. And now listen to me, though, on that line. We're to love all people. You understand? And we're to love every single person, every sinner. We're to love them. And so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I am telling you that when you go against any of those things in a culture, as they begin to say, well, no, this is okay to do. This is life. I'll never forget the story that I read about a missionary that went, I don't know where it was, Uganda or somewhere, and there was a tribe that he got involved with, and in the tribe they had certain standards of living on how they should live and do things, and they believed in marriage. And so they would do things and have a marriage, and then they would just have a marriage for life. But they had a little quirky thing, and I always wondered, okay, how did they come up with this one? Who came up with this law or this idea? The quirky thing was this. They believed in marriage, but that young 13, 14-year-old that's going to get married, we need to help her and show her how to treat a man. And so one of the elders would spend a week or so with her in showing her how a man is to be treated. Does that seem off to you? Do you understand when I say how a man's to be treated? Do you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you have this, like, well, let's move on. Ask Will later what I meant by that. Well, we'll come up with those kinds of things if we don't have the Word of God. We will come up with ideas on how life should be, and you know, we just want to be happy, and we just want to have a relationship with a man or a woman, and if, you know, if it feels good, it's got to be right. We need wisdom. And he says to us in this, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It can be trusted. And it makes the simple wise. I want to be wise about life. The next one, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The precepts or the doctrines that are in the Word or the path that we should be on for God. Remember what the Bible says? What Jesus said, narrow is the gate and narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. Well, the Word of God gives us a path to follow. Of course, the gate is Jesus Christ, and following Him and living in Him is that narrow path. And not so much, I want to be careful here, not so much the moral thing, where you got to be moral. You need to be moral, but be moral in Jesus, that your morality has to do with following Jesus. And so when you're following Jesus, you're loving everyone, you're not condemning anyone, and you're caring about other people, and you're following Jesus. The Word of God is right. Jesus said, and then it says, rejoicing the heart. Remember what Jesus said? I tell you those things so that your joy may be full. In Jesus Christ and following Him, there shouldn't be a happier people in the world. If you're uptight and frustrated in life, one of the reasons why is you need the cleansing of the Word of God and get on the right path. Paul wrote when he was in prison, the Philippians, and he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. And he talks about this rejoicing in God when he's in prison. Most of us would not be that way. We'd be depressed because we'd be away from our family. And we'd be away from the people we love. And we wouldn't be able to watch the Super Bowl and, you know, those kinds of things. Well, maybe you would, but anyway. We would be depressed. And he says, rejoice. And there's something different about the life of a Christian who is following Jesus Christ, that narrow path. But let me tell you, it's full of joy. That's in God. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord, what God says, that these things are not optional, and there's a lot of things in the Word that are not optional. You just need to live it, and you can't deceive yourselves, and you live these things and you follow Him, and it says it's pure, enlightening the eyes. Remember what Jesus said? And I need to quit at this point, but he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he's not talking about when Jesus said that, he's not talking about some future event when we'll see God, but his life would be full, that he sees God in everything that's going on around him. He begins to see God even in the struggles of life, in the difficulties of life, even in the hardships that come upon him. All things work together for good to them who love God and who are called again, according to his purpose. And you begin to see that God is doing something here, and I kind of get an idea of what he's doing. I'll never forget in my own life a hardship here at Grace that I went through that was the most difficult thing for my wife to go through in our lives. It hurt so bad. It was gut-wrenching. It was sleepless night after sleepless night. It was tormenting all day long, demonic forces tormenting us, and because we didn't have forgiveness yet and didn't have a trust in God and a faith in God. But I'll never forget, finally, when things begin to settle in my heart, I could see what God was doing in my own life through this thing. And how it encouraged me, even in the suffering. How it was, oh man, this hurts really bad, but I see now what God is doing, and I need to repent. And I need to turn as a pastor. And as a Christian, I need to turn to him. I made so many mistakes, and I can see those mistakes now. I was blinded before. Now I see my failure. And I saw God in it, even in the hardest of times in our life. Well, that's what the Word of God does. It begins to wash us and to cleanse us. It begins to put us on the right path, and we begin to see God in so many things in our own life. And God in other people's lives. Worship team, I want you to come on because I want us to give a couple minutes here to sing and then invite any of you that would like to come and pray. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Let me just put it this way. The fear of the Lord is an appreciation for who God is and what he does and what he says. Or, to put it, a worship to God. A fear of God is a worship to God, honoring him, recognizing who he is, what he has done, and what he wants in our lives. An awe of God. And it says it is clean. I don't know how to explain it's clean except this way. The Greeks had mythology. You've heard the Greek mythology, and they had many different gods, but it was so complex it wasn't clean. And the gods were human-like, but had power to do whatever they wanted to do. And the story I like to tell is one of the goddesses fell in love with a human being, wanted to get married. Zeus says, okay, you can marry him. She bay, okay, you can. But the twist is, Aurora, when she married the human and he became an ever-living being, but he, ever-living, he always got older in eternity. He shriveled up like a prune when she was beautiful. And so it wasn't clean. There was twist to it. There's no twist to God. There's no weird stuff with God. It's just lined out, and if you follow him, things begin to go into place in your life. Even when suffering comes, even when difficulty comes, even when hardships come, it just seems things seem to go together in God. It's an amazing thing. Anyway, I'll end with that. Next week we go to Colossians. And we'll give you some time next week to study the Word. Let's stand. You know, I think it would be good if God is speaking to some of you to go in the prayer room, and there's some chairs in there, you can just sit or kneel. and just seek the Lord, and we'll have some people go in there and pray with you. But, you know, maybe you need a greater desire for God's Word. Or maybe you have a desire for His Word, but it's like you're not getting it. Well, let us pray for you on both of those. If you don't have a desire, that God would give you a greater desire. And God will do that. The thing that you have to do and that I have to do is we have to humble ourselves, and God gives grace to the humble. And one way I'd like you to humble yourselves is if you go in the prayer room and pray and seek God for a greater desire for Him, for His Word, and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Or if you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you don't know for sure, let someone pray for you. So as we sing this song, if you want to pray, just go in there and seek the Lord for a few minutes before you go home. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you might not understand what joy that brings inside of you. You know, when you see maybe your sins, or you see the evil, and you go to God. But in God, you know that it's okay, and He'll wash you and forgive you. And it's just another step toward Him in reality. And it's not like you feel yucky. You actually feel good when you repent. You actually, there's a cleansing, and there's a weight that is lifted, and there's a joy that comes in that. It's just an amazing thing in Christ. So Father, today is, as we go, may this Christian life, this life in Jesus Christ, may become powerful inside of us, driving us to study the Word and to know what You have to say. Give us a hunger, Lord. And even the ones that have that hunger and they've been reading, God, give us a greater enlightenment as we follow after You. As we learn how to love You better and to love You more, and we learn how to love others better and to love them more. God, do that in us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.